such an awesome, awesome God. And we need to remember one thing, that no matter what's going on in the world, the Bible tells us greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world. That means no matter what's happening in the world, God is still on his throne. Doesn't mean that God wanted all this evil to happen. This is a misconception that people look around. Well, if God could stop that person from dying, you're right. But sometimes those people don't want to be saved. God's not going to change your course of life because you want to be stupid sometimes. You want to drive 100 miles an hour everywhere you go? One of these days, I promise you, one of these days, I think about every time I get over the speed limit, what would it take? Especially when I was on my motorcycle. The two times I hit 100 on it, I'm going to tell you right now, the only thing that went through my mind is a butterfly could take me off of this motorcycle. That's all it would take. Well, God could have saved him. Yeah, but he was being stupid. And the Holy Spirit the whole time was telling me, slow down. So, just remember that no matter what's going on in our world, no matter what's going on in your life, your world, God's still greater in any situation you may have. If we learn to rely upon him in that situation, that's when we'll find the peace that we keep talking about, the peace that cannot be taken away from you. It passes understanding. You know, right now the world thinks that peace is, you know, no war, nobody fighting. Well, y'all find a time in life when nobody was fighting? We got a history teacher back here. He'll tell you. There's always been wars. No time in history has mankind gotten along. So we just need to have that peace that can't be taken away from us. Amen? Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord God, for your great love for mankind. Father, first off, that you sent Jesus, your Son, to be our Savior. And Lord, that if we accept him, then the Bible says if we confess with our mouths that he is Lord, we will be saved. Then, Father, I thank you and praise you for that. And I thank you that through all your word, Lord God, that there are covenants that we can partake of. And one of those is tithes and offerings. Lord, I bless it now to you. Father, I thank you and I receive it on your behalf. And we bless every dime that's in here to further the gospel and to build up your church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. They don't bite, I promise. Oh, praise God. Well, hallelujah. Folks, we're going to pick up some more and talk about the Holy Spirit today. We're going to talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit. I know that it seems like every so many months I talk about it, and there's a reason why. Sometimes people don't understand them, and then other times we experience moments where people are being stupid and abusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's where I'm camping out today. Just recently, I had the opportunity to have dinner with a minister, another pastor from up the road. And, you know, we sat and we talked a little bit about things. And they asked the question, well, how did you get into ministry? You know, a lot of people, they've always felt a burn and a draw to it. I didn't. And so I explained to them, you know, and I explained to them why I didn't feel like a minister. And, you know, and I said, you know, one of the reasons why was because of the hypocrisy and all the goofiness I saw in the church. And, you know, and saying the word hypocrite in church, you know, everybody knows. I was talking to a guy this week doing a drywall in my house, and he said, the reason I don't go is I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, his friend had the truth right. He said, well, you know, sick people are the ones that need the doctor. And he's like, well, yeah, I see that point. But when I talk about what I'm talking about, hypocrisy, was people that they're not trying to overcome things. They're telling you they've overcome. And then their lives are totally different outside those doors. And but one of the things I saw was a great abuse of the gifts. I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've seen them work. I've seen them in operation. And I have seen them messed up. And that was where I was going with that. I began to explain to him about all the prophesying clubs that I had witnessed as a child and as a young adult growing up. People get together. They start praying over each other. Next thing you know, they're exchanging prophecies over each other, prophesying great blessings and all this stuff. And it's caca. Okay? It's a bunch of malarkey is what it is. It's an abuse of the gift of the Holy Spirit, an abuse of the gift of prophecy. Prophecy has nothing to do with you and I sitting down together and praying over each other, and then suddenly I say, you know, you're going to meet the man of your dreams. It's a bunch of garbage. And I'm going to tell you why. Because now what's going to happen is you're going to change your life to try to meet the man of your dreams. Angela and I have talked about this last couple. I'm getting away from where I was going. Y'all know my rabbit trails, right? Those of you that don't know me, there's rabbit trails. Hopefully I get the rabbit before it goes down into the hole. But anyhow, and I told him about all the stuff that I'd seen and, you know, and just how it pushed me away from the gifts of God, and it pushed me away from God. And I explained to him how I gave my life back to God. I was totally drunk, totally messed up, a lot of hatred and anger. And he said, he confirmed what I already knew, was that the whole reason that God had allowed me, and I said allowed, he protected me, but he allowed me to go through that, was so that on this side, I could stand up here in this role and tell you that's a bunch of garbage. It's an abuse and it's not right. And he said, that's exactly why God allowed you to do that, was so that I could be on this side and tell you that's not how it's supposed to be. And so we're going to talk a little bit about prophecy today. I've got some scriptures. I'm not going to promise you 100% we're going to get to them today. This is not a message that you just jump into and say, ta-da, here it is. There's a reason the Apostle Paul spoke on about two chapters on things of the Holy Spirit. And that's not the only place the Bible talks about it. But anyhow, so as I was back here thinking, you know, even on in my own life about prophecies, you know, I've received prophecies. There's things I didn't understand, and I put them on a shelf. I just left them there. The earliest prophecy in my life I can remember, I was 16 years old. And it was my youth pastor. He was praying, and then he never did this. And he said, I have a word for you. And he told me, he said, God told me to tell you, you're going to stand before kings and generals. Okay. I don't think he knew what it meant any more than I did. I'm 16. I didn't even have my driver's license yet. Okay. And, it was about a year later, we had a guest minister in upstairs and in the adult, in the sanctuary, and I stayed in. We all stayed in. And I went up for prayer, and he gave me the exact same word for word. Fast forward two more years. I'm 19. I'm on the island of Okinawa. And I go to church. Like I said, at that point in my life, I'm trying not to let go of one, but trying to embrace another. And I'm being torn. That's actually technically be called a hypocrite. Okay? But I went to church. And the minister there, he was actually a Marine himself, but he'd gotten out and he was ministering to servicemen overseas. And he prayed for me and he said, you know, God showed me, he said, you're going to stand before kings and generals. Okay. And so I never understood what it meant. Another word I received was I'd be a pillar. I think that's where I was, had gotten off. I had the wrong word. It was, I would be a pillar before God. And though three times. But then this other guy gave me the prophecy that I would stand before kings and generals, not understanding it. And so, but not understanding, you know what I did with the word? I put it right here on the shelf. I did not direct my life to try to become a public figure. I still don't want to be a public figure. Okay, from time to time, I'm in the public. But I don't care that anybody knows my name. I really don't. The more people know your name, the more they talk about you. And that goes on enough as it is. But I just wanted to remain private, and I left that word there. And then over the course of time, God began to share more with me. He started giving me visions. I'm like, okay, well, maybe God, you're going to use this, and this is how I'm going to achieve that. And then one day we had a meeting at church, and we had a man come in, and I was usually one of the last people that would go up for prayer, because at that point I was the sound man, and you know, I was making sure everything was staying on course. And he actually called me up to pray for me. And as he was praying for me, he told me, he said, now mind you, this is the first time out of the mouth of God that this has ever come to me. He said, you are called to preach. And I thought, okay, God's going to use this avenue here. And as he looked at me, he said, but don't go get a tent just yet. I'm like, what on earth does that mean? I wasn't getting a tent anyhow. I hate setting them up. If I'm going camping, this boy's going in a something came in on wheels. Okay? I've slept on the ground enough, and it's not fun. And don't tell me, well, you get you a nice big old... you got to buy a really expensive air mattress for them not to leak out, okay? But I still didn't. I'm like, okay, God, I'm not pursuing a ministry. And I put that word right there. But what I started realizing here recently about all this was that each time God gave me a word, and there were other words that we would teach as others have not taught, and things of that nature, they were vague. But this last one was specific. God called me to preach. A former minister, a former pastor of ours, when I was 10, had told somebody, he said, he will preach. I was 10. He never told me. And I promise you, had he told me, I would have ran faster and further. Okay? I loved God, don't get me wrong, but I did not want to get up in front of people. And so the words just a little bit more and more. And then the night that I received the word that I was called to preach, I checked it put it on the shelf. Did not change the course of my life to try to accommodate a prophetic word. Because I'm telling you, I was still skeptical. And I'm still prophecy's number one skeptic. Well, you mean, I don't chase prophets down. If they got a word for me, I'd never moved. I'm right here. I don't need to chase a prophet down to get a word. Besides that, I have the same Holy Spirit residing in me as the prophet does. And if my life is going astray, why isn't the Holy Spirit speaking to me about it? And but God has used prophets. And so later on, when I informed my pastor, who was leaving town to start a church elsewhere, I told him what God had called me. And he said, I saw the call on you. He never told me either. And had he told me, I can promise you, I might have kept sidestepping to try to avoid it. Because the timing was not right. Because first off, I needed to change through all of this. I needed to mature. I needed to grow up. Mind you, I'm in my 30s at this point. And I'm saying I needed to grow up. So just so all y'all know, you know, when you're 18, I remember, y'all, most of you here remember when you turned 18, don't you? Woohoo, I'm growing up now. No, you're not. You got 25 and you realized, okay, mom and dad weren't as big of morons as I thought they were. And then you got in your 30s and you're like, ooh, okay, I'm really starting to understand stuff. And then about the time I hit 35, I was like, yeah, I'm finally starting to feel like a grown-up. Well, there's times I'll be 48 in a month. I still don't feel grown up in some areas, and some areas I refuse to grow up in. But God began to show other people and only gave me vague ideas. What I've learned through prophecy is the closer the revelation of the prophecy is, the more detailed the information will be. Okay? You're called. Boom. Within 2 years of that word, this ministry was birthed. 2 years, not 20. So if you've been given a word and it's been a bunch of years, take that word, chuck it on the shelf, and ask God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And quit living your life according to that word. Because you're never going to achieve what that is. And then if it was a false word, don't ever receive another word from that person. I know that's hard. Well, you know, they were right once, but the Bible says if they're wrong once in the Old Testament, they stoned them to death. This is how critical it is that people who claim to be prophets and go around giving words out are held accountable. God said, I don't want you just going around saying, you know, Gloria, next month you're going to meet a multimillionaire and you're going to get married and all this stuff. Next month rolls around, Gloria's like, where's my millionaire? Well, that was a false word. And the Bible says that prophet should be taken out and stoned publicly so that the next prophet liar coming through would understand this is unacceptable. Now, but as I learned, God's word, each time it got closer to the manifestation, was more specific. Okay? Then, during the early years of this church, we were trying to expand it. We're trying to get it out of our living room. On the advice of Pastor Dozak, get it out of your living room quickly. Okay? God, we live in Mount Gilead. You find me a building in here that is suitable for a church that is not the public library, which, by the way, they denied us, which is illegal. But I already knew they were going to, because God had already showed me in a dream that they were going to deny me. By the way, they let another church come in 2 weeks later. But that was fine, because God had something greater. We actually did go to a meeting at Pastor Dosek's, and the man was a prophet. And the man said, I don't know which one of you pastors it was for. We were all sitting in a section like this. And he looked down and he said, the big building is yours. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, every pastor in there jumped up, hallelujah, praise Jesus. The big building, it's mine. But the problem was, it was only for one of us. It wasn't a, y'all just claim your big buildings and grab it. All them preachers may have had dreams of building the biggest church. I don't want the biggest church. I'm going to tell you flat out. I have come to the conclusion, I don't want an army. I want a corps. That's what I understand. Small unit. Small and effective. You can terrorize the devil all day long. That's what I was trained in. That's the stuff I understand. I don't understand the occupying force. That's the United States Army. Okay? Once you go over 400,000, you're an army. And the United States Army is closer to 1 million. They go in, they occupy. But Marine Corps, I understand. We go in, and we're the spearhead, and we bring fear to the enemy. And that's what we should do as believers, folks. But so many people today are so hung up on a word that they got 20 years ago that this was going to happen. If it ain't happened, more than likely it's not going to. Well, what about this, this, and this? Put them on a shelf and start living your life. I cannot imagine a life so full of turmoil that you cannot live free. Well, what if I make a mistake? Do you seriously think that God can't redirect things in your life? Is there anybody who has never made a mistake in your life? And if one hand goes up, I'm going to slap it. Because we've all made mistakes. And most of the time it was right after. It's like, oh man, I knew better than to do that. Why did I do that? Last night we left her brother's house. And the road I came in on, it was daylight. But when we left her brother's house, we were going back down the road. And as soon as I turned, I was like, why did I come back this road? I said, it was hard enough seeing their big old potholes. So then I had to drive dodging potholes on County Road 46. Like, man, if I had just gone to the end of their road, which was okay, and gone to 19, it was the same distance, and I wouldn't have had to have been dodging potholes. I knew I'd made a mistake. We all make mistakes. And you know what God does? God redirects. Okay, I had you for this point. Now, if this point is the only point in time I need you to get there, then I have to fast track you. Angela and I, was it this morning we were talking about this? Our lives. My life didn't go exactly as I planned. My dad thought he would help me out and get me a job working with him. You know, back in 88, an 18-year-old making $10 an hour and, you know, starting out was pretty doggone good. Now, mind you, I was on my way to be an electrician. I wasn't just digging ditches. I was a groundman for a lineman. And that was going to be what I was going to do with my life. The day after high school, boom, it was going to happen. But see, here's the problem. For the previous year, the Marine recruiter had been calling me. My buddy at school had hooked me up and gave them my number. Anybody else got a buddy like that? Dude, I'm not joining. Somewhere along the Army got it. And finally, you know, graduated, and I'm going to go to work. It's a Sunday. We graduated. Monday morning, I'm going to work. Monday morning, I did not go to work, and I never worked for that company again. I'd worked for them from 16, 17, in the weekends and a couple of days during the summer. And it just never happened. And I told Angela today, I said, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, my life was supposed to go to the Marines. I was destined to go there. Why? To make me who I am today. God needed me here at this time for a purpose and a reason. And if I had tried to live my life, well, I'm going to stand before kings, or I'm going to be a pillar in the house of God. I need to go to seminary school. God took me into a place where I understood, one, how to be a man. I'm sorry, but that is something that's lost today. Well, you know, this is being a man. No, being a man is taking responsibility for your actions, good and bad. That was one thing, you know, and Angela's not joking. Y'all see the things she puts on Facebook. Art would so agree with this. When you make a decision, make the doggone decision. And try to make the best decision you can. But if you make the wrong decision, admit your mistake and move on with your life. Don't camp out there. Somebody's life might depend on it. That's what I learned. That's why I learned, try to make the best decision first with what you have. But see, God took me there to try to make men. Today, I got the guys that were working in my house. They did the drywall out here too. The boys, the youngest one was 27. And he even admitted, I know for my generation, I love to work. And he's a sick individual because he loves drywall. And he kept, I just love drywall. And he is very good. And he says, I know for my generation, I'm the odd man. Do you know what's the problem? It was his generation. His father's generation is my generation. We dropped the ball. We didn't make them responsible. I'm not saying we should be harsh taskmasters, but you can ask my boys. When we're there to work, we're there to stink and work. When Jesse was working for me, and his buddies are sending him texts, hey, we're going to go here and here. I said, buddy, I ain't paying you to text your friends. I'm paying you to do work for me. And, you know, so I was a bit of a jerk sometimes. But you know what? That's how things get accomplished. Sometimes cell phones are a great thing. Other times, they're a nuisance. And so God has shown me that what we thought for our life wasn't exactly what he had for me. By the way, I had to do the same thing to Joshua. You know, I know Jesse's the only one sitting here. But I had to do the same thing for Joshua. And guess what? Justin's coming up. Guess who's next in line? I got to do the same thing with him. And I have to be the same all the way across. Just work it in with their different personalities. Different things worked for them. But the prophecies, the gift of prophecy is not to be abused to try to manipulate you. If all anybody is ever telling you is God's going to bless you. Listen, that's in the Bible. If you live a good life, the Bible tells you if you do what's right, blessing follows. That's a no-brainer, right? So if all they're ever preaching to you and telling you is, oh, you're going to be a millionaire, when? Okay, 6 months. Mark the date from that date. And if you aren't a millionaire in 6 months, don't ever go to their meeting again. That's simple. And I say this because my parents went to meetings like this. There was one particular meeting. The guy said, if you can give me $100, come up this line right here. And if you can only give me 50 or less, you come over here. What does the offering have to do with anything? And you shouldn't be prophesying to get an offering. The word of God is free. And so we've got that. Put your words on the shelf and do not live, do not form your life by what somebody else has said. People have been known to be wrong. You know why? Because a lot of times, here's what happens, folks. People want to play into what our dreams and desires are. How many of you would like to have more money? Okay, I better see every hand come in. Don't tell me you couldn't use more money. How many of you guys got a $1,000 set of tires that's about to need to be replaced? Am I the only one? Okay. And I'm milking him things forever. We're not to the wear bars yet. But you see, folks, we all could use a little more money. I don't care how much you got in savings. You could use a little bit more money in your life. Would it mean that, you know, maybe some things would get fixed at home, or maybe you pay off your car, pay off your debt, pay off student loans? I know we got people in here just got out of college. Man, we got a lot of stuff happening in our lives, and it could happen. So what do? They come in, man, you know, God's going to bless you, and here's what's going to happen. And when it don't happen, you're standing there blaming God. Well, God, you sent the prophet. The guy's not a prophet. Maybe he got one time right. He's a one-hit wonder. And that was it. A blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. It's not hard to figure out people. Here's what happens. I'm going to pick an imaginary person right here in front of us, so I don't have to pick on anybody, although I could do this with anybody. God said, I know what you've been through, and he's going to deliver you, he's going to heal you, and he's going to be there with you. Now, how many of you have been through circumstances in your life where you feel like you've been beat up, kicked down, dragged out? I just hit the whole... Carl's got two hands up, so bless God. See what I'm saying? Everybody has been in that situation, and that's what we're teaching people. Pick on the things that you know about them. I had a guy give... We were praying together with a group about some things, and he started ministering in prophecy because he went to the school of prophets. I do this when I hear a school of prophets. Because what he did is the word he brought to me, he already knew the information about me personally. He already knew it. Was it a prophecy from God? No. Words of comfort? It could have been. And he didn't need to say, thus saith the Lord. When you say, thus saith the Lord, you're trying to be more special than you really are. And you know what? That's when it messes things up. So, having said that, let me figure out where I left my Bible. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Now, I've told Miss Carsey back here, she's going to work on the fly, so y'all going to just have to give her a moment or two. 1 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll go to verse 1. That's where we're going to start, Carsey. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, here's where everybody takes this. But especially that you may prophesy. Now, this word in prophesy means actually, according to what's been interpreted, means to foretell the future. Okay? I'll be honest with you, folks. I'd rather not know the future. If I'd have known the future, would I have gone here? Would I have done this? Would I have done that? I don't know. If I knew everything that I know now, had I known ahead of time? Well, God, if I'd have known you were going to put me in ministry, I'd have gone to a good seminary school instead of the Marine Corps. You know what I'd have missed out on? Camaraderie that I'd never had in a church. Camaraderie that I try to foster here with everybody. That I try to build you up. Well, Pastor, it seems like you're awful rough on us. The greatest men that I have ever respected in my life are not preachers. They're my drill instructors. They belittled me, made sure my head was shaved. And after I'd shaved my ugly mug, they told me go shave again. But boy, in the end, when they called me a Marine, because I can't tell you how many times I wanted to quit. God, break my leg, please. It's the third time they'll let me out. I couldn't break my leg. I respect them more than I do probably 90% of the fivefold ministry. Because they did not have selfish motives. Do you understand? And I say that because I've seen a lot of people do goofy things trying to control others. I don't care. And by the way, I don't have a mentor. You know, it's the greatest, latest, greatest craze now. You got to have a mentor. No, you don't. A mentor is a counselor. Guess who the Bible calls the greatest counselor? The Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us. But he said to these, especially that you may prophesy. Now, I'm telling you, folks, and some things I've read in the breakdown of these words and some of the commentaries from the people that understood the Greek better than any English-speaking person. I prefer to pick somebody who's actually got a Greek last name who understands Greek. Okay? You want to understand American? Come to me. I can tell you about American. I speak it quite fluently. It's broken, it's tore up, it's not proper English. But especially that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He's talking about when the prophecy we bring forth is an edification to build you up. Sometimes if you got somebody, especially if they can nail something specific, that's when you know it's God. Okay? You know it's God when you don't know this person and they call you out and they say, God has made you a pillar. This preacher up in the upstairs in the adult service didn't know me. The preacher in Okinawa did not know me, but gave me the exact same word as my youth pastor. And really the only thing he knew about me was I was a little crazy. I knew my Bible. I'll be honest with you, you know, because I wasn't the tallest, you know, when it came to basketball and we played, I wasn't the first person picked. However, when it came to Bible trivia, they fought over me. I knew my Bible. And it felt great. Looking back, I know why they didn't pick me for basketball. I felt I had to try to slam dunk the ball when I go up for a layup. Yeah. I hit the rim once. That was it. But he said, for you to build up the church. See, that's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. It's not to get rich, not to build big buildings. It's to build up the church, which is the people. It's not this stupid building. I could care less about this building. We can have service in my barn. You just may have to wear a coat. Sometimes an umbrella. Some idiot shot a pigeon in there the other day. I thought for sure that bullet was going to hit the wood. Nope. I got a hole from down here. It looks like it's that big around in my roof now. Guess who gets to pay to have the roof fixed? But our purpose, prophecy's purpose, is to build the body up. And particularly what he's talking about here is we have experienced it throughout the years. It's not an everyday occurrence, not an every Sunday occurrence, where somebody brings forth a tongue and then there's an interpretation. That's later on here. I don't know if we're going to get into that today. But anytime somebody brings forth a word into the body, it's to build the body up. Okay? Not to reveal sin. I know there's been preachers that have, you know, God showed them something about somebody and they addressed it right there in the service. I can't say that I know that that's exactly how it was supposed to happen. But then they found out that the sin went a little bit, a few more spaces down. Same sin. And I think because it was in the leadership that it had to happen that way. The church recovered, people grew, people were restored, good things did come out of it. But the Holy Spirit does not reveal your shortcomings to embarrass you. Let me throw that to you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Not going to bring up your past and talk about how bad of a person you were. Every last one of us know what we've done. You will not forget it. Okay? I don't want to forget it. Because if I forget it, then I can no longer have mercy and sympathy on people. That doesn't mean you had to go out and be the world's greatest sinner. Just as long as you remember to extend God's mercy and grace to other people. When you fail to do that, you failed at love. And the Holy Spirit is only bringing God's love into our lives. So many times we want to say, well, I got to speak the truth in love. Do you really want to go down that road? Do you really want God to reveal your dirty laundry to me? To bring it out in love in front of everybody. Now, this has been my standing from the day one we started this church. I won't embarrass you. That's not my job. However, if you're going behind my back spreading lies within the church, and it's happened, I've seen it, and people just sit there and they just don't do nothing. When God tells me the time is right, I will address it publicly. But so far to this day, I have not had one person do that. And you want to know why? Because I dealt with it here. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. If you got something that I'm preaching, I can't tell you how many times people walk, man, that was just right on the money for me. Usually it's about 10 other people too. Others are like, well, I didn't get anything out of it today. Well, that's okay. You probably will. When you get home, God's going to say, pow, up the side of your head. And you're like, oh, wow. What I'm doing is directly linked to what he was talking about. And you know how you'll know? Because the Holy Spirit that lives within you. When you get saved, I believe God deposits just a little bit of the Holy Spirit in you to help you start. The Bible talks about a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we've turned that into a whole goofy doctrine. Well, if you ain't writhing like a snake or rolling on the floor laughing or whatever, you ain't got the Holy Spirit. Or if you didn't suddenly just start yammering off in tongues, you ain't got the Holy Spirit. That's not the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Those gifts can come out and be utilized, but they are not the only, they're not a surefire way of saying, well, I got the Holy Spirit. If you got convicted of sin, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. If God starts showing something, you know, you might be walking by somebody and God says, that person needs money. That's the Holy Spirit. That person is down. That person has no food. That's the Holy Spirit. Are you following? The Holy Spirit moves us to love, not to embarrass. The Holy Spirit will never embarrass you. A preacher, I remember, I consider him a great man too. He's one that actually helped me through some of my skepticism about things of the Holy Spirit. And he was preaching one day, and he was talking about how the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And Gabriel said, you know, I'm preaching on how the Holy, and this was in South Africa, where he was preaching, I'm preaching on how the Holy Spirit, you know, reveals sin to us in our lives. From time to time, the Holy Spirit, I ain't gonna lie, has showed me things about people because they're lying to me. But it wasn't so that I could go jump on them, right? It was so I could start to pray for them. I can do so much more for praying for you than I can if I just get authoritative. You're going to get mad, you're going to get butt hurt and leave. Hope that one didn't offend anybody. If it did, get over it. Sorry. We're so sensitive. Oh, Pastor, you say crap. Well, would you like for me to use the other word? You going to be any less offended? I can show you a word that's in the Bible that right now every northern religious devil hates. But it's in your Bible and got taken out by Noah Webster because he was offended that it was in your Bible. Now, you're not going to hear me up here cussing. I will say hell. It's in your Bible. But anyhow, so he's up here preaching, talking about how the Holy Spirit brings repentance and reveals sin. And this old boy in the back... I'm going to try to be as polite as I can. He comes running down the aisle. And boy, he's just a confessing his sins. He's a single, lonely dairy farmer. He began revealing things that he said, I wish the man had shut up. What he did to the cows. He said, I'm trying to stop the man. But he doesn't understand the Holy Spirit's not to embarrass him. And he totally embarrassed himself in front of this entire church. He said, I never did hear anything else about what happened to the guy, but he said, that's not the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit will not do that to you. I knew, and we talk about words of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. There are things primarily that God will bring to you. God may bring an encouragement. Maybe you're needing an encouragement in something. Maybe you got a big decision and God will send somebody to speak words of encouragement to you. Does it matter to you if they say, thus saith the Lord? Doesn't matter to me. The other night, this preacher, he said three things, and everything he revealed was something God had already showed me in my life. And why and where and all this stuff. Did I need to hear that? Not really. And he didn't have to say, thus saith the Lord. I was like, well, that's a confirmation of what I already knew. Everything he said, I already knew because God has been shown. Because I asked the Holy Spirit, who's my helper? Okay? Y'all have to bear with me. I just lost the train. Fell off the caboose. Oh, yeah, words of encouragement. But sometimes God will show, thank you. See, everybody said, why do you have a wife? I need a wife, especially one who can stay on track. But words of encouragement, words of wisdom. Sometimes God will show a pastor not to go show you what's going on in your life, but so that he may pray. Okay? God shows me things. And it's not so that I can embarrass somebody, but so that I can pray for them. Or in certain situations, stop something else from happening. Because I have the power, depending on who it is or where it's at. I can stop it. It's that kind of stuff. How many times have you ever seen, you said, man, I just saw that. I remember I was 10 years old, maybe pushing 11, and I was in church, and this woman was standing on the front row. We only had about four or five rows, so everybody sat either on the front row or really close. And her little boy was standing there in the chair, and he's rocking that chair. And I saw, and I'm telling you, I know I saw it, but in my vision, I kind of saw me catching him. But he's rocking that chair back and forth, and it fell. Got his fingers in behind that metal folding chair. He was just about two. You know, and I'm thinking, why didn't I react? I knew it was going to happen. See, the Holy Spirit had showed me something that was going to happen. My mind kicked in and said, I'm going to be the hero. Nope. I couldn't move. It was like, I knew it was going to happen. Well, you know what? Two things happened that day. One, she learned to keep a little closer eye on her kid. Two, he learned not to rock the chairs. Didn't hurt him. If he had been a little bit bigger boy, it might have smashed his fingers worse, but it just smashed his fingers. So sometimes God gives you a word, shows you something into somebody's life. I remember a pastor we had, every new visitor that came, he had a word for him. Every visitor that came for 6 years. Every visitor got a word. And he'd start talking to him. I remember the one in particular. God showed me, you're like a ship that's in a storm and you can't find a port. We never saw one visitor come back. It wasn't for him to tell them what's going on in their life. It was for him to pray for them. And better yet, how much more so if you'd have been praying and dismissing and saying, Lord, I pray for those that are being like a ship tossed back in a storm. How much more? And maybe there might have been one other person in there who felt that way. God called me out one time in a service, and this is going to be my first closing. God called me out in a service one time. I had already joined the Marine Corps and was home on a 96. It might have been Christmas even. I came home for a 4-day pass, and that we were having special meetings. And so I went, and I'm standing in the church. You know, we're there and we're praying, and God's moving, and God is bringing powerful stuff to people's lives. And this minister, and I sometimes ask God, I was like, God, why did you do it this way? But he's standing, and I've shared this before, but he's standing up here, and he said, there's somebody in here. He said, you're feeling beat up. You've just been whooped. He said, I see your armor. He said, it's cut. It's dented, and it is beat up. And he said, and you're about to quit. And I stood there, and as soon as that man opened his mouth, my stomach tried to crawl through my throat. I knew before he even said the first word, I knew who it was. But here's the thing, folks. I wasn't the first person to move. My own grandmother went up. There were several other people that felt the same way. But this word was specific for me because God had another word at the end of it. And he needed me to step forward, okay, and take responsibility. Sometimes I'd gotten myself in those situations. But my whole purpose for leaving had nothing to do with situations I'd got into. It was situations that religion had come to my door. And he kept going on and on, and I mean, this might have went on for 10 minutes or so. And finally, he said, you know, I'm not going to ask one more time. He said, I know, I believe this person knows who they are. This person knows who they are. He never looked at me. He's looking over here, and I'm off on the wing. And he's still looking straight at the wall, talking. And the second my foot moved, he stopped and he said, and that's the person. He wasn't even looking at me. I mean, I know he saw me in his peripheral. But the second my foot moved forward, he identified me. And then when he prayed for me, this was, again, God starts getting more specific the closer your call gets. At this point, still had about 10 years or so. But he did tell me, he said, God's going to use you to help other people. He says, matter of fact, God's going to use you to kick down doors that have been stopping people. And he actually had me kick the back door. I left a small dent in it. And the door might still be there. It's down at the Edison Depot. I think they may have taken it out and put a window in. But what God told me, and that was just the beginning of my hard times, folks. I hadn't begun to run yet. I ran further and harder and faster after that point. But I'm going to tell you right now, when I gave my heart to God, it was for real. There wasn't nobody there trying to coerce me. It was all me. God told me that word to recognize, first off, that my running was legitimate. He confirmed what I was denying. But the problem is, all those dents, see, those dents and those gashes and wounds and stuff were things that people had said, either directly to me, about me, or directly about my parents or somebody else that I loved. And I did not realize, like I said, until it was actually a couple years ago, that God finally realized the reason that I was drinking. And I'm going to tell you, folks, I didn't just socially drink. I sat down with one beer, 15 minutes later, had another one. Usually by the time an hour had elapsed, I had a six-pack down and started on the Jack Daniels. I was having a good old lit time. So I thought. But the truth of the matter is, what I was doing is I was trying to bury. And I didn't realize how angry I was. Y'all, anybody, about everybody here has been slapped, right? You've been slapped in the face. You want to start a fight with me? Go for my face. I will try to block it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you connect it, I'm not making you any promises. I will try my best to turn the other cheek. But anybody who's ever slapped me, that's when my anger goes whoop, right to the top. My wife slapped me one time, and you know, I was just messing around, didn't realize that I probably shouldn't have been screwing around, but I did, and she was very emotional because the first trip home, I took her away from mom and dad and everything she knew to a state that she didn't like, and well, we eventually liked it. We hated it because it smelled like swamp. But she slapped me. And I didn't realize it until I went in and she's like, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. Because she said the look that came across my face. I said, yeah. I said, that's, but I didn't realize how much of that I'd been burying under alcohol. But I knew it wasn't going to get any better. Why? Listen, I came from a big long line of alcoholics. It doesn't get any better. You can't bury it in alcohol. You can if you have to have it to relax and have fun, you've got a problem. You need to deal with it. You deal with it, you'll find out you don't need it. I do my crazy, stupid stuff totally sober now. At least I have myself to blame and not Jack Daniels or Budweiser. So, folks, God told me all that stuff ahead of time, but my life was not to revolve around those words. We're just on the tip of an iceberg, folks. This isn't. I'm not going to rush it. I'm not going to try it, and I'm never going to lay hands on you and try to get you to prophesy. Not going to happen. Not going to teach you how to prophesy. Not going to teach you how to pray in tongues. None of that. I've learned that it's a personal. I'm not even going to try to force people to accept Jesus. Until you're ready, no, ain't happening. That's just all there is to it. I was pretty much forced, coerced. You're going to die and go to hell. Well, if you die without Jesus, yes, I'm sorry. But I just told you that, so now you can deal with it. You can rectify it. But to sit there and tell you, to keep my record going of having so many people saved every week, ain't happening. I got saved laying in a sleeping bag on a beach on Okinawa. Scared to death that I was going to die. And I was trying to kill myself. Inadvertently. Don't think God can't use you. But don't live your life according to something somebody else told you about your life. If I had spent all those years trying to figure out what God meant by me being a pillar, I'd try to become an elder in the church. I'd have tried to become this or that. And the truth of the matter is, I find that when the real storms hit, a lot of those elders buckle. They don't know how to stand. It's only people who have gone through something that knows how to stand. I look around, and I'm going to tell you right now, I see people, that their backgrounds, different things. Some of you have gone through a lot. Some of you maybe not as much. But the fact that you're still standing, we're going to continue standing. You get knocked down, I'm not going to be there to condemn you. I'm going to be there to help you back up. And when you need a shoulder in the back to keep you moving forward, I'm going to be right there with you. That's what we're called to do. And then I'm going to let you stand on your own. At some point, you know, my boys, I've had to let, at a certain point in their life, I've had to say, all right, you face your decisions now. What are you going to do? You make this decision, this is going to happen. And when this happens, you got to face the music. And honestly, I praise God that a lot of my stupid decisions never got revealed to the police. I'm not the only one. I know I'm in good company. But we're going to pick up more and talk more next week. Like I said, I know I only hit a couple scriptures, but there's so much more the Bible actually says about prophecy and about these gifts, that when we bring them into the proper their proper role in our lives, they are a real tool. They're a real benefit, a real help. But when we're trying to prophesy to somebody and tell them that God's going to do this, this, and this, and it didn't come to pass, listen, if they're specific, they're short time. Keep that in mind. If they were specific, I'm going to put 2 years on them. They're within 2 years. If it hasn't happened, then put it on the shelf and get on with your life. Because maybe you're the blocker. I honestly don't think God would have actually gave me her had I not joined the Marine Corps. Well, Pastor, that's just this. Well, you know, that she's the only one for you. No, there was probably another one that would have worked. Not one as good. But there was another wife that could have worked. I'm being honest. There was another man that could have made her happy too. Yeah. Joe, you want to take over for me while I run? But you get what I'm saying, don't you? Please, somebody tell me you get what I'm saying. Had I not been where God needed to be, God would have provided her with the good man that she needed. But as it was, God had to send me around the world to become the good man she needed. Because I can promise you, I was not. Had I not gone through the stuff I'd gone through growing out of it, I would not be the man she really needed. She didn't need the guy who was still harboring hate and anger towards people. I ain't going to say I like it when people lie to me or lie about me. Is there anybody really likes that? No. Does it make me mad? Yeah. I just want to haul off and jack slap them. But I don't. Just so you know, I have never struck anybody who did not hit me first. I can't say I've never hit anybody. That would be a lie. Anybody I've ever hit, they swung first. Was it the Christian thing to do? I don't know. I never got picked on again. It's just all there was to it. We'll talk about maybe that later. All right, let's stand. And for all, for people that don't know me, I'm really not prone to violence. However, if you're in a fight, I'm your man. Just like we told Jerry when he wore an Ohio State Buckeyes sweater or sweatshirt up to Applebee's in Michigan. I said, brother, you're taking the first hit. I said, after that, we're with you. But because you wore it, you're taking it first one. There was enough of us, we could have held our own. That would have been great because we were there for a men's conference. And half of them were probably heading there too. Oh, but praise God. God is a good God, folks. Don't ever think that he hates you. He doesn't. He loves you and he wants the best for you. And he will let you make your stupid decisions. I've made plenty of them as a preacher. An area of life. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious day. Now, Lord God, I thank you for your word and how it changes us. Father, I thank you for the true gift of prophecy. Father, I pray that you help us all to discern between that which is true and that which is false. Father, and if we don't fully understand something or if things have not happened like they were supposed to, Lord, that you give us the courage to set it on the shelf and keep moving with our lives. And the Father, that if that word was truly from you, you will make it manifest. That nobody else has to open their eyes, but Father, that when we are where we're supposed to be, then the timing will happen. That things will happen and we'll grow and move on. Now, Father, I bless these people. Father, I bless those that have to go to work today, Father. Lord, I bless the work of their hands, Father. I pray that you lead them and guide them. Father, I also thank you for each and every person here. Lord, I bless them. Thank you for their faithfulness to come out. Father, for those that were unable to be here today, Lord, I bless them. I pray that you minister to their bodies, Father, in healing them, giving them rest as well, Lord God. Father, I know that as you go before them, that none can stand against them. In Jesus' name, amen. You gonna walk?
No. I'll be the fat boy holding the flag for
Houston. Oh. I thought you was gonna walk. I like that. Looks good, little man. Put it on the shelf. Just keep it up here, but don't live your life according to it. Yep. If it hasn't come to pass, like I said, details, it's just something God has showed me. The more detailed, the closer it was supposed to be. And sometimes, you know, you've got to put them on the shelf.